Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Whether you're just wrapping up the night shift or on your way to start the day, we got what you need.
Welcome to the morning shift.
It's the most mid-team in history.
A whole new way to start your day with nationally televised reporter Tiffany Blackman.
Any pizza for me can be a personal.
Can't wait.
Former Falcons and Alabama offensive lineman Mike Johnson.
I've had my butt chewed by Nick Saban a few times.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
And Atlanta sports radio guru Bo Morgan.
You know who I am? I'm Squid Bill.
You tell him I'm coming! And hell's coming with me, you hear?
It's a new experience.
And a new take on a sports morning show.
The morning shift is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Morning. It is Thursday. We are live here in the Kia Studios on the morning shift. Mike, Bo, and Tiff here with you. And there is so much to get to today when it comes to maybe Bill Belichick. I'm sure a lot of you guys read the article or you watched the feature that was done yesterday. And then we have Braves. There's just and Hawks.
Yeah. As Mike said, a lot of meat on the bone. This is like one of those turkey legs you get at Talladega, Mike.
There's just Disney World.
There's just
Disney World turkey legs.
Yeah, Disney World turkey
legs.
They
have them at Talladega, and that's Disney World for me. That and the Masters. So.
That's this weekend, by the way. Dega, baby.
I'm missing it. You know what? I'm a little bummed. I'm missing Dega this weekend, but I'm not bummed because I'm obviously it's Thursday. I'm a day ahead, but I'm not bummed because I'm going to Nashville.
What are you going there for?
Supercross.
Just one, just a couple more wheels on the old, on the old engine. You know?
Yeah, they don't go as fast, but they have almost as many wrecks.
Yeah, right.
and it's
the dirt mounds.
I don't know,
right?
Dega.
Like
motorcycles. I don't know.
Yeah, well,
right,
they're dirt the bikes. Yeah. They're technically of the motorcycle family, just those that are ridden on dirt.
That's right.
Dirt bikes.
I'm a little bit jealous about that, man. Although I'm not sure that my liver would survive a trip to Broadway, Lower Broadway. Nonetheless, by the way, Ding, the best bars are on Demumbrian in Nashville, so don't be afraid to go over there.
The who?
Demumbrian.
It looks like Demon Brewing, but it's Demumbrian.
Demumbrian.
The street.
That's what I'll do. I'll say, hey, let's go to that Demon Brewing place. It looks pretty good to me.
Demon Brewing? No, that's where the best bars are, man. Tin Roof over there, Rebar, a couple other ones. That's where you want to hit it. Lower Broadway's a little bit overrated, man. It's always too packed. I'm too big of a dude to be in a freaking crowded bar.
You do it once and then that's it. I'll never go back to Broadway.
To me, the perfect time to be down there is in the afternoon. Like not at night. Like
I agree with that.
We went to a bachelorette party in Nashville and they wanted to do the little pedal tour thing, right?
No.
So you pedal around.
Do that. Did you do that?
I sat in a seat that the pedals didn't work.
Or could you not reach them?
No, I could reach them. It was like one seat where there was no pedals.
Yeah.
And I was like,
you were that guy? It wasn't your bachelor party.
No.
You didn't let the bachelor sit in the non-pedal seat?
He was in a different pedal.
Unbelievable,
we had to have two of them.
Man.
He was in a different cart.
If I was in the bachelor party, I'd be like, bachelor, come over here. You can add this one, man. We just want you to enjoy yourself.
Hey, everybody jumped on a seat, and that was the one left. And I was like, don't mind if I do.
Wow.
Anyways, but when we got done there, everybody was going back. And we go to get an Uber. There was no place. And I looked at Amy. I was like, you can ride back if you want. I was like, but I'm not getting in that Uber. It's too full. I'm going to go over here at Alan Jackson's bar and grab a couple of cold beers. So she's like, nah, I'm not going back. So we propped up there for like another 3 hours.
It's like the latest in vogue thing, though, if you're a musician, to have a place like named after you on Lower Broadway.
Yeah, I heard Kid Rock's got one
Chiefs
now.
Chiefs and Kid Rock's and Al Dean's and whoever else. Alan Jackson. Or it's just... There's like every, you know, I think the Florida Georgia Line had one for a little bit until they broke up.
I need Brooks and Dunn to have one.
Acme, if I don't go to the Acme, I guess, Feed House Acme or Acme, House. Whatever. What is it?
I think it's the Oyster House.
No, yeah. I don't think it's not. It's not Oyster House.
It is Feed.
It's just, yeah.
Acme Feed and Seed
or
whatever.
Yeah. I like that spot.
Yeah. That's the three stories, four stories, something like that.
Yes.
Yeah,
there's a rooftop. Spot. Yes.
I've been to George Jones's place too. That's a pretty good place.
George Jones. Interesting. You do anything last night?
Man, I am building my kids a swing set in the backyard. And Tiff, I definitely feel like I'm younger than I am because I was boasting to my wife. She's like, man, you're going to start another project. You're redoing the basement right now. It's like, no, this, I was like,
this
look,
will be easy.
This, I was like, I could do this in a day if I wanted to. I could do this in one day if I wanted to. Tiff, I dug one hole yesterday for one post.
And
dunzo.
You're done.
Dunzo. Like, absolutely. I had to take every foot of depth that I dug, I had to take a 5-minute break. Like, that's how exhausted
so
I was.
So you only did one.
One, well, and then I had to take my daughter to the doctor, so it was, I got cut a little bit short. But, yeah, I don't know that I could have finished, digging the other hole.
Because safety first, right? Like, you have to make sure that it's
right.
Secure.
The rule of thumb, Tiff, is for every foot of length, 1/3 of the post has to be in the ground. So it's a 12-foot post, so you got to dig it 4 feet deep. And 4 feet is a long,
you can't.
Long way.
Find someone to can't go on Task Rabbit.
Look,
or
what else am I
I'm
doing?
Joking.
What
joking.
Am I doing? If I'm not going to go to the gym, I might as well dig a hole.
No, it's probably a rite of passage for dads to build, you know, swing sets and mini playgrounds in their backyard.
Maybe.
So.
Maybe, but yeah, that was the depth of the day.
It's what you know.
No, I was just listening.
Dads do. Did you guys see that Jim Harbaugh thing where he talked about the Chargers had posted it? He has an RV. He's out on the coast, and he said, you know, you're really a dad or something like that when you have to empty out the crapper of the RV. So yeah. I feel
the black like water, they call it.
Swing set's kind of in that ballpark.
He just seems like a person that makes life difficult when it doesn't need to be.
Wait, where are you?
Like, this is not true, man.
Why are you living in an RV?
Or
you're a millionaire. Go live in a hotel.
He's not living in it. Maybe it was a feature.
He is. No, he
is.
Yeah, they drove it.
Yeah,
he drove it from Michigan, and he's living in
it. Garage sale.
Tons of people do that.
Well,
they're not. They're people that make my salary and less, not millionaires.
He's not making life difficult. He just enjoys the little things.
RV?
You know what I mean? Maybe he doesn't
want
to live in a
$10
million California mansion.
You know, him and his khakis and his glasses. I'm just not a fan.
You know what? This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. So the Hawks and the play-in tournament, they got eliminated. So 131-116 to the Chicago Bulls. And Coby White for the Bulls scored a career-high 42 points in that game. So they'll advance in the play-in tournament. And, the Hawks have now been knocked out.
What was the number on the clock when you guys were like, I can't keep my eyes open? What was the number? Like, was it?
There was 11 minutes and 55 seconds left in the first quarter.
You're wrong for that.
No, I mean, look, it's tough to watch these
games. I would
assume
that most people feel the same way we do that are up right now listening to us. It's like, dude, you 9:30 Eastern tip. Come on, man.
The only thing, you know what, you know the difference I know you're right. I was that way when I was working afternoons. I would struggle to make it through these games, but I would. I had a little more fight in me because I knew I could wake up
even
later.
Even without this.
Yes, you do. the difference in them is when they woke up and saw that box score, they're like, oh, well, season's over. I'm like, I have to go watch that game. Oh,
I know. The last thing I remember, and I want to get you guys' input on this. The last thing I remember thinking Trey looks a little gassed. And I remember thinking, I don't think this is going to go the way we want it to, the way DeAndre was playing. And I think that was somewhere at the end of the first half, and the Hawks had just made a little bit of a run, and the wheels started falling off, and I was like, I'm not going to make it. And somewhere between that point and middle of the third quarter, my eyes were fluttering, and it was over with. So I'm running on adrenaline right now in terms of what I actually did see. But the one thing I do know is that the Bulls, it seems like at the end of the game, could have named their number. Mentioned a minute ago, 7 minutes left. They were up to 121 points, and it wasn't good. DeAndre played one of his worst games of the year. Trey was not himself. DeJounte tried to will this team, but they're just.
I'm just saying, 30 points.
Who's that?
DeAndre.
Yeah, he posterized somebody too last night.
Jeez.
DeJounte did,
Tough crowd. I was just trying to find the silver lining.
Well,
no, there's not. Now's not the time.
There isn't one. And you talked about at the end of the first quarter.
DeAndre had 8 points. DeAndre had 8 points.
DeJounte, excuse me.
Yeah, DeAndre played his worst game of the
DeJounte
year.
Murray. You talked about that end of the first quarter. Bulls had a 16-2 run to close that out. So
yeah. Well, look, they got a performance from Kobe White that you were hoping Trae Young was going to come in and give you, or maybe DeJounte was going to come in and give you. You know, basketball to me is a game where one player can completely change everything.
Yes.
And there's not a lot of sports like that. Where, you know, because of the numbers game where there's only five guys on the court at once. Why can't the Hawks get a Kobe White type performance in a game like that? I mean, Trey's done it before, but in these play-in games, but it just, that's what you needed, and you don't get it. Neither team really was that. I mean, Caruso being injured is big for them. I mean, that's huge. And they still beat you handedly last night.
The frustrating thing for me watching this game is we've had so much back and forth in this city about what is the future of this team? Do they need to trade DeJounte? Do they need to look at trading Trae Young? Where do they find the draft picks? What does a blow up even look like without, you know, getting a ton of draft picks back for either one of those guys? And yet, at the same time, I'm looking at the Bulls, who are also very injured, and you have a guy in Kobe White getting 42 and looking like he is going to be on Team USA this summer. And that's the frustrating part for me is we sit there and go, Trey's a superstar, DeJounte's this guy's that, and yet I brought it up to you earlier this morning, Bo, the guy from the Pistons who scored, you know, 50-plus on us a couple of weeks ago.
Malachi Flynn.
It just, you sit there and look at it and go, well, this guy's a superstar, he's scoring this many points, and yet it seems like it seems like we are building superstars. There's been five different teams in the NBA that scored their season high against the Hawks.
Well, that's
five different teams out of 30.
That's why, Tiffany, the legitimate question is, and I'm sorry that it has to be asked, but is Trae Young a superstar? That is a legitimate question. And unfortunately, the Hawks front office has to figure that out this offseason. Would I keep Trae? I would like to. I'd like to keep DeJounte. But the fact of the matter is I don't believe for a second you can have both there because it just doesn't work.
Do you think
they figure it out this offseason? Do you think they make a call on that?
I think they make a call on it. I don't know if they make the right decision, or I don't know if they do it the right way to get everything back. Obviously, Quinn Snyder needs all the input, really, to me. I trust Quinn Snyder's personnel evaluation more than anybody in the building right now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I do too.
He reportedly, according to Sam Quinn from CBS Sports, and he wrote a great article about this, Quinn wanted to keep DeJounte. He was like, dude, we got to keep him on the roster. And we'll talk more about this at 7:40 before mic'd up because I want to get into this before wake-up call. I don't think it matters if Trae Young's a superstar. I don't. What difference does it make?
Well,
because you're saying for this team or
for
in general?
It doesn't matter, and here's why. You're not going to get back for DeJounte what you paid for him. So what else, what other move do you have? You don't have one.
Well,
you don't have another move.
It does matter that you're paying a guy to be something he's not. And if he's not a superstar, you're sure as hell paying him like one. So something's got to give.
My point is that, we'll talk about it at 7:40, but the point is that there's nothing else to give. There isn't. There's no other move to be made.
A legendary coach wasn't hired in this coaching cycle in the NFL. Multiple reporters peel back the curtain on his reasons, on their reasons why, and we'll tell you why he didn't end up here in Atlanta. That's next on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're going to get on down now.
We're talking all things Atlanta sports and beyond. This is The Morning Shift.
Make some noise!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Shake that thing, miss. Can I shake that thing, miss? And I better shake that thing, yeah. Donna, Jordy and Rebecca. Woman, get busy. Just shake that booty nonstop. When the beat drop, just keep swinging it. Get jiggy.
We are back here on The Morning Shift. this song
like
kind of threw me. I mean, it did, but it's funny to me because we're about to talk about kind of serious stuff. And so I was thinking, where do I go with this?
Sean Paul. What is this? This is at least 20 years ago.
What year is this?
I'm going to say 2003.
Oh, you're right. DJ said you're right. DJ Day-Day in the house.
No big deal.
Hey, I got a question.
I just remember being a junior in the Ranger, the Danger Ranger.
Don't, can you give it away now? I don't know if you can ask
No,
him.
No, I changed my mind. No. I'll ask him in the break. Yeah. I got a question.
Yeah, I'm going to see you almost. See, Bo?
I get, whenever someone gives me anything multiple choice, there's sometimes that all the choices fit me.
We can talk about what it is. I did a, my wife calls her sister a Labrador. And so her sister came in town this weekend, surprised her for the birthday party. So they took a what kind of dog are you quiz, and she was not a Labrador. So I took the quiz, and I want you guys to take the quiz because it's a very interesting set of questions that will lead you to what dog you are.
You got Labradoodle, didn't you?
No, I got Shiba Inu.
I don't even know what that means.
Oh, that's why you said that the other day.
Yeah, I said it yesterday. I was like, I've been told I was a Shiba Inu.
What the heck is a Shiba Inu?
I don't know if I would. A Shiba Inu is a, it's a small, we'll get into it later.
Just based off
we'll
the
get
question.
Into it
yeah,
later.
It's a, we're going to talk about it mic'd up. And I'm just curious what you, what it comes out with for you guys.
There are very, very interesting questions on there.
I Googled Shiba Inu.
Shiba Inu.
The fact that
you
even called it a Shiba Inu. That creepy, evil laugh you just let out.
Just,
like you're going to, like right. A character from Despicable
Moving
Me.
Moving along here, and I'm sure a lot of you heard about this story or had your eyes glued to the TV when it was airing on ESPN yesterday, and it comes from ESPN reporters Don Vanata Jr., Seth Wickersham, and Jeremy Fowler, and they reported on a story as to why Bill Belichick wasn't hired in this coaching cycle, including why he didn't get the Falcons head coaching job. So it goes on to say on January 15th, 4 days after Robert Kraft bid farewell to Belichick in Foxborough, that Falcons owner Arthur Blank met one-on-one with Belichick aboard his super yacht named Dreamboat. I just wanted to include that detail because that's kind of probably is a Dreamboat, right?
It's literally all of our dream.
And so this was back, as I mentioned before, back in January. So it was Belichick's first official job interview since 1998, because we all know he's been with the Patriots forever at that point. And he also met, when he met with Al Davis and the brass of the then Oakland Raiders. So that was way back when in 98. Anyway, guys, basically this goes on to talk about a warning that Robert Kraft gave to Arthur Blank. Of course, Falcons did not give a comment on this. And I believe that they tried to speak with some of the Patriot sources as well within that building and Kraft. And they're not giving a comment on this as well. So they have their sources. They have now gone with this story. That Kraft had given basically Blank a warning that you can't trust Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I even took it more about the fact that the line that got me was like it's gonna be a cold relationship basically. You're not gonna have any warm interactions with Bill Belichick, and that kind of goes against some of the atmosphere that Blank wants, where he wants a family atmosphere with his teams, where people feel free to talk to each other, they feel free to interact, and you can give your opinions on how you feel. There was a lot of things that really dug into this article for me. One of the things that I thought was interesting is that when Blank met with Belichick, he straight up said, "Why does your coaching tree suck?" Now, that's not the way he asked it. He asked it in a much, he asked it in Arthur Blank's way. That's my way of saying, why's your coaching tree suck? And Belichick goes, "Well, they're better soldiers than generals." I mean, that goes with how that organization is ran, where it's total control. People can't grow under you if they don't have any decision-making on their own. If they're never given the ability to grow, and if you just make every decision for them, then you will just have basically robots that you tell exactly what to do. And that's what his coaching tree has been.
You mean there won't be any collaboration? Well, that's the key word these days, collaboration.
Well, yeah, that's what, and the article mentions that, Mike. It's funny you mention that, because the article mentions the whole collaboration that every seemingly team wants.
It does,
now.
And it did also mention that that Belichick did get a second interview, right, with the Falcons. And so I know that according to their sources that the second interview was given just out of respect for him. I'm going to hit pause on that because I want to come back to maybe what that is all about. But, Mike, did you want to weigh in on?
No, I mean, I think you're spot on. This article kind of bounces around. And honestly, I think it gives you four different reasons why Bill Belichick's not here. There was also a point in this report where they say, you know, if he was 63, that he'd be the head coach of the Falcons. There's also the Robert Kraft thing like Bo was talking about. And then it also kind of goes into the voting system where you rank your candidates. And Bill Belichick not even being in the top three in terms of, you know, guys that you know, blew this group of people away. So I think they all kind of weighed in with one another. I don't think anybody that's going out there, well, you know, he didn't get that job because Robert Kraft. That's not necessarily true. He didn't get the job because he's old. That's not necessarily true. And he wasn't likable and they didn't like what he wanted to do. I think it's everything kind of enveloped and all spin together and blended in that leads this article down this path of he's not this, he's not that, he wanted that, and they didn't like this. And this is where we're at right now.
And it's centered on basically why he missed hiring in this coaching cycle. But the focus, I would say, really was on the Falcons in this. So I just want to at least explain that because that was really the furthest he got in the coaching process of trying to land a job in this cycle. So it's not necessarily them just trying to key in on Atlanta here. It's just this was the biggest lead that he had when it came to trying to get a job this past season.
Yeah, it's the only one that he actually got an official interview. To your point, Tiffany, it's the only one where he got any real meetings. The others were just conversations. But I mean, the Eagles were interested. But then they look at, you know, we're not going to restructure our organization for a guy that's going to be here for 2 years. In fact, that is a lot of like the Washington stuff where Washington talked. You know, their owner had Josh, was it Harris?
Harris's last name. Yeah,
had talked to he talked briefly, and then you know, but his structure was I want a strong GM. He hired Adam Peters to work with a head coach that can collaborate, and we know that Dan Quinn fits that because of what he did here with Thomas, and he did that. The thing about me, one of the things that Belichick's concerns with the Falcons were that he didn't know the way the roster was built. And he wanted to bring in his trusted assistants. So see, that's a source close to Belichick, but then there was stuff put out there that he was willing to come in and work with Fontenot. The ultimate thing is no one believed at 73 that Bill Belichick was going to come in here, coach for 10 years, and fit in an organization as just a head coach because he's never done that as a head coach.
Well, I think, to your point, the one word that jumped out at me, and it was a Titan source, and I'll read you the quote from the Titan source, but the word that jumped out at me was arrogance. They use the word arrogance, and the Titan source, they're talking about, you know, the opening with Mike Vrabel having moved on, and the quote says, he was so stubborn with the offense, he ran the offense down to a pulp. Mac Jones looked like a capable quarterback early. You think Joe Judge and Matt Patricia can run the offense for him? It's arrogance, and that's a Titan source. And that was the one passage of that jumped off at me. And I got to be honest, and Tiffany's right, all this kind of points towards the Falcons, but I think that's frustrating for me because the Falcons are not the only opening, you know, head coaching job. And the Falcons are not the only people that turned down the opportunity with Belichick. He was just very heavily rumored early on, and he goes to the yacht, the dream boat, like you said, we all wish we had. And then all of a sudden it becomes a Falcons issue. It's much like the Lamar thing. Like, it was never just a Falcons issue.
No, it's broader than that, and they did at least get into some of that in the article because he was passed over by everybody, right? So it wasn't just, yes, it looks like it's all about the Falcons because it's the furthest that he got. But the thing I wanted to come back to is just the fact that, yeah, he was passed over by all these teams. You look at someone that's won how many Super Bowls in New England and had been there forever, and on the surface level, you're looking at it like, okay, well, that person's qualified for a head coaching job. And everyone assumed right from the jump, when New England did not bring him back or they parted ways, he was going to land a job. And then I think the more maybe some of these conversations were had with teams, and I don't know, you know, I go into everything. I don't know him personally. I know players. I've worked with players that have played for him. I know people that have played for him. Maybe it just shows you that this is a new, you know, the NFL kind of grew around him. Does that make sense? What he was doing in New England, it was in such a bubble. You're in such a kind of a vacuum there. outside of the league, maybe I feel like people are more so involved, at least when it came to players, maybe having more input, players being more vocal about things. You know, you are able to talk to assistant coaches whenever. I don't think that was always the case in New England. It was always the Patriot way.
Yeah.
So he kind of, what's the word that I'm looking for? He didn't change with the times.
The NFL evolved. Bill Belichick didn't. And in a lot of ways, the game, the way he handles people, the way he coaches people, the way he wants to run an office,
that's what it is,
the way he wants to treat people, it doesn't work. Look, I know everyone wants to talk, but...
And I wasn't talking about the play on the field.
Look, there's no doubt he's the most... If you had to pick anyone's brain in the history of the NFL, and you asked me, it would probably be him. All of that said, I don't know if you guys have noticed the last 15 years, but our world has changed in a lot of ways. And the way you treat people matters. And whether anyone wants to admit it or not, it's not being the hippies, but you listen to anybody that's been around, he doesn't necessarily treat people the way it goes in 2024. And you can't get the most out of a lot of people. You cannot manage everyone the same, especially not the way you did it in 1995. And 30 years later, it just doesn't work.
Yep, for some extra innings, the Braves will get you to their win over the Astros on the other side on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Good morning.
Yeah!
Back to more of the Morning Shift
with Tiffany, Mike, and Bo on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Poses.
Here. Ground ball, and it's through. Atlanta back in front. Thanks to a little more Orlando Magic.
That was Orlando Arcia's go-ahead RBI single in the Braves' 5-4 win against the Astros in 10 innings. That call courtesy of Valley Sports and Brandon Gaudin, the voice of your Braves.
The old getaway day, right? Braves playing a little bit earlier in the day. And it looked a little shaky early, but you got a couple guys squared up. First of all, Ronald Acuña, shout out to him. First home run of the season. He caught a hanging breaking ball out over the middle half, 78 miles an hour off the top of my head. And it looked a lot like the pitch that Ozuna hit a ton, but Ozuna's is a little bit further in. Ozuna pulls his. Acuña squares it up, goes straight away. Look, quality win against a quality team. No matter what you want to say about the Astros and their record thus far, they're still a good squad. And I thought the Braves did a nice job kind of digging in, staying in there. You're obviously missing Albies. You slide Matt Olson back to that four hole. Don't want the lefties back-to-back. Michael Harris up to second in the lineup. And they did a nice job, man. It's one of those things where you try not to take too much out of some of these games, but keep plucking away and winning these series and doing the things you need to do at the end of the games, then it's going to turn into a good thing in the long term.
Ozuna hit his 8th homer, so that is leading the league. When we had our discussion, Dylan was grilling us over what we were going to predict Braves players to do this year. Did you have Ozuna? Did any of you have Ozuna when it came to the home run category?
I don't remember what the exact question was. I don't
like
think
who would have the most home runs for the Braves.
I don't think I had Ozuna having it. I think
I was just curious because he's leading the league right now. I know it's early.
I know.
I just was curious.
I know one of us had Olson.
I know I didn't have him.
I think the question was who's going to set a season career high in homers or something.
Maybe
like that.
Yeah,
that's what
I said Michael Harris.
Like I
would say if you ask me if Marcell Ozuna would have the highest batting average or one of the highest batting averages on the team and one of the highest on-base percentages, I would tell you absolutely not. The fact that Marcell Ozuna has a 16-game hitting streak, has hit safely in 16 of 17, is just absolutely – it blows my mind.
Yes, Snit would definitely agree with that.
And he's had the whole season longer than that, really. It's been a long time, yeah. So, it's been big.
He's been the MVP so far for this team.
Oh, yeah. You also have A.J. Minter that moves to 3-1, and I was looking at A.J. Minter, the fact that he's 3-1, and we're, like you said, we're 18 games into the year, 17 games in the year. The setup, man, these days is in such a good place to have career highs and wins because of the fact that if you're in a tie game, you're probably going to use them in the ninth inning, right? Because and odds are with a runner now on second base that in the 10th or 11th, you're going to get those RBIs coming home and you're going to put the closer in to kind of close the game down. So A.J. Minter already at 3-1 on the year. It's a little bit mind-boggling, but it kind of fits with what this team is. We expect so much of A.J. Minter, right? He's such a matchup specialist, and it's so nice to have a powerful left-handed arm that you can turn to in a lot of these situations into the game. And so A.J. Minter is, man. I don't want to call him a bulldog on the mound, but he just has that grit about him that you know he's going to dig in.
A spirit animal.
Well, let's keep talking about the bullpen because Snit thinks they've done a great job of keeping the Braves in games this season.
Exactly right. If they don't hold leads and keep us close when we get behind, you don't have an opportunity to do that. That's the most valuable thing they can do is just kind of keep a game in check and give us a chance, and they're really good at it.
Well, to his point, the bullpen has done a really good job of kind of steadying the ship at times when needed. The starting pitching has had its moments. Look, Fried went out and gave you five innings and three earned. And you want more from Fried, but he's settling in. Now you know he's going to be fine. Orlando Arcia, I mean, we're 13 months removed from having the discussion. How is this what your plan is to replace Dansby Swanson?
Yeah.
And now you're like, I'm a huge.
He looks a lot like he started the year last year.
I'm a huge Dansby guy. You know that. Like, Dansby's my boy. On and off the field, I'm a big fan. But, I mean.
Wait, has someone replaced him in your heart?
No. He's still number one in my heart.
Well,
hometown
AJ Minter,
kid.
It sounds like.
Well, AJ Minter has always been a part of my heart.
I do want to give flowers, too, guys, to make sure we talk about these other two relievers, not just Raisel Iglesias and A.J. Minter. But Pierce Johnson, it was rounded in form. He looked incredible last night. And Joe Giménez has been awesome throughout the first part of the season. And it feels like, in a lot of ways, the kind of missing piece to what they are at the back end of this bullpen.
He was an awesome part last year. It was just the overusage, I think, at times of certain guys like Minter and Giménez. Really
started getting
dinged
up at the end, and these guys started getting really stretched out.
Well, that's why AA made it a priority to not only bring back Giménez, but they got Johnson, but then he brought in guys like Bummer, and look, he built this bullpen because he felt like he didn't do a good enough job last year, so he built this so they could withstand these things. Because, like Snitker told us on our very first show, you're going to need 14, 15 starting pitchers these days, and the Braves are on that. Look, they're on course again. How many guys? They've used, five, six, seven starters
already?
I mean, it's April 7th, 18th, so.
You hope that maybe. I'm not going to mention his name, but if they wanted to add some more depth.
Yeah, you can't do that.
I'm not.
Can't
no,
do
we're
that.
Not. No.
We don't.
No.
Dave O'Brien told me not to talk about him, so I stick by DOB.
And he was passionate about that too.
Yeah.
Don't even say his name.
So we won't say his name.
Yeah.
We can say Ronald Acuña Jr. though, the reigning NL MVP, and he added his first home run of the season. Was that you, Michael? Were you concerned?
It was him.
He's
concerned.
I thought you.
You guys, listen. Sometimes I throw out a fair foul.
Should we be worried about Ronald Acuña Jr.'s strikeouts?
To be concerned. Just a talking point. Doesn't mean that I personally am concerned. Sometimes it's just thrown out there.
And I'm sorry, but if it comes out of your mouth, it's your opinion.
Well, fair.
But if it's in the form of a question,
on a fair foul Friday, that's fair. No, I think that look when you looked at what Acuña was, I think it was fair to ask questions. We mentioned, I think he struck out 17 times the entire month of April last year, and he was already at 9 after like the first six games. So you're going to ask those questions. The beautiful part about him hitting a home run yesterday to me is not the fact that he hit a home run. It's where he hit it and where the ball was. It was, outer middle. It was a hook. It was 77, 78 miles an hour, and he takes it dead center. And that's what you should do with that pitch. To me, that tells me he's not pulling off the ball. His swing angle and his launch angle and all that's still good, and he's still seeing the ball well. So I don't think he's going to be able to have the MVP caliber season he had a year ago because nobody has. But at the same time, he is still a very, very, very good baseball
player. You know, everyone can change their tune. You know, we all have the ability to, you know, decide maybe we want to go in a different direction with our thoughts, just like Mike did. But you know who never doubted? Acuña. Snit.
I said even last night he was kind of mishitting some balls and getting hits, and I was kind of almost like, you know, guys start doing that, then they're just, you know, they're ready to get going and get on a run. So, you know, he's getting his hits and stealing bags, and I'm sure it was good for him to get that first home run out of the way.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, as much as I want to see Ronnie hitting home runs and have him hit 50 home runs and steal 50 bases and create another category for himself, the most important thing for me is to see him on base, because when he's on base, he ain't going to steal 50, 60, 70 bases without getting on there. And the fact that he's getting on bases, if he would, he has struck out 20 times, your point already this year. But as long as he's getting on base for a lineup like this, even without Ozzie, who's already taken his walking boot off, because you know, I've told you guys how to heal from that injury. Yeah. But
thank you.
You knew exactly how
thank
he handled
you.
It.
Yeah. As long as, you know, without Ozzie, you need Arcia, you need Harris to step up, you need Guillermo to step up.
Doogie Howser over here, sorry.
It's Guillorme.
I like it. I like it my way.
I told
way.
You four times this morning. It's Guillorme.
I will say it my way. It's
right.
My way or the highway.
Say it how you should say it.
Let's hit
I try
TV's
to say it right. My mouth just don't work like that.
Now let's take a look at what's going on in Tiffany's world. This ain't funny. With TB's Timeout on the Morning Shift.
Brought to you by MaximumCashHomeBuyers.com. Fair cash offers for as-is homes. Don't waste your time with repairs. Call 678-902-2000.
Guillorme.
Attaboy.
Don't sound right. Guillorme.
You're just going to make up your own name for him. That's fine.
I like him.
I know.
It's not
I
disrespectful.
Know.
It's not meant. I'm not meaning it in a disrespectful way.
All right.
This guy, tongue-tied.
No, it's disrespectful.
He's verbally challenged.
Me in the kitchen.
Oh boy. What'd you burn?
I didn't burn anything. I'm at a point in my life where I think I might need to just go back to prepared meals. And I don't know. It's a decision I'm heavily weighing. I don't feel like cooking anymore. I'm sure a lot of people have had this feeling. The amount of dishes, and I'm sure you have an actual family, but still I produce a lot of dishes. And so I don't know. I just was thinking might be time to hang up my cooking skills.
Do you have dishwasher detergent?
Yeah, I do. Didn't my mom tell that story when she called in about how the time I put soap in the dishwasher?
Oh my gosh.
Twice.
How far did the suds get? Did they get all the way down the hallway?
No.
Oh,
thank
man.
Goodness. Probably because my sister was home and saved the day. So
how often do you run your dishwasher a week?
How what?
How often do you run the dishwasher?
I don't know. I don't keep track of that.
Well, I just asked because I know that
not
I'll
in a
probably
bad way. I just don't know. Just
ballpark figure. I don't know.
I don't know.
Twice
I guess
a week?
I just never really thought about it. Probably maybe twice. Maybe
mine's like
twice,
once a day,
three.
Like legit.
Really?
I mean,
yeah.
Slam full.
Heck, oh, man.
It's crazy.
We run ours two to three times a week. That's why I was asking.
Anyway, you guys have all shamed my food picks, so.
Yeah, I don't shame. No, I've never shamed your food picks. I've just never commented on them, which is, I guess, like the same as shaming.
Bo, you know what this means, though. You know what this means.
It means a lot of foe?
No. Well, maybe, but it means that if you're a Tiffany Instagram follower, just strap in for Factor Meals to be
food?
Tagged. Good Measure Meals to be tagged.
I got free dog food. Now I gotta get
Blue Apron.
You know
now
what?
I gotta get my own food.
I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but I see you as a person that when you cook, you don't use a lot of seasonings. I just kind of feel like your food's, you know, dry and without taste.
Yo, the faces that my brothers.
I was wondering why you weren't looking at me. I was like, what happened?
Glass just made. Did he just say that to me?
I think your food tastes bland.
I would say she probably used seasoning.
Day-Day, do you think I'm wrong?
I think she
Day-Day.
Probably used seasoning, but no sauce.
You need to come in here and defend. You cannot just stand there. You cannot. Day-Day, you better say something. Day-Day.
What is going on right now?
I'm sorry, but your pictures look like bland food. I don't know. I feel like I just made I just might have, like, did I just get canceled?
I don't know.
Day-Day.
You didn't get canceled, bro. Never tell a woman her food looks like it's not
seasoned.
Yes.
Have you
That's
seen her food pictures?
It's a violation. Thank you.
Well, then don't post bland-looking food.
I use seasonings. It just may not look aesthetically pleasing, but it tastes good.
Well, normally when you use seasoning, not only does it make it taste good, but it makes it look good.
What do you, what's your favorite seasoning?
Whoa. I think my soul just got taken. Wait, she looked at me.
When we use the term seasoning, though, what are we talking about? Are you using like Tony Satcheries? What are you using?
You could use Tony's, although that's really high, in, you know, but I did love Tony's from my time in Louisiana. You shut your mouth
right
now.
Are you a big Old Bay girl?
I like some Old Bay. I like salt and pepper. But he's. Yeah. I feel like he's even insinuating I don't even use
any
seasoning.
Like,
I feel like he was trying to say you only use salt and pepper.
That's what you think he was?
Yeah, that's what I took.
You ever mix a little chili powder in there when it needs?
Sometimes I do just use salt and pepper.
Garlic salt.
A little allspice.
Come on, man. Garlic salt.
I like to use actual real garlic if you roast it.
Yeah, you're doing it. That's why you produce so many dishes.
You roast the garlic in the tin foil. Like, you can pop it in the oven for a amount of time, and then it's kind of like melty and it's really good, and then you throw it in.
It sounds like a science project or something.
Thinking you were having my back, Dylan.
Dylan act like he's ate your cooking. You guys having secret hangouts or something we don't know about?
No,
like,
it was almost like you were trying to strip me of a certain card that
I don't think
only a few of us in here hold.
I'm on the same page, but I have no idea what's going on.
I don't either. I'm not here to strip cards. I'm just talking about how you cook. I mean,
what she's saying is they use a lot of seasoning at the barbecue. Is that what I'm picking up?
You know, okay,
fair enough.
I prefer not to cook, but I love other people's cooking with seasoning.
I'm gonna put it to you this way.
You gotta get out of this.
I judge food on the pictures. And it ain't got nothing to do with cards or whatever. But if your food don't look good, taste good.
You did not get canceled. I'm just having fun with you because it was funny to tell.
But with Dylan's reaction.
Look, we'll be right back here on the morning shift. What am I supposed to say? Dylan, thank you. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured. Like the boat just injured my Injured? Call Morgan at Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. We'll be right back with a big, big story on why Belichick was missed on this hiring cycle. Next on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.